Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Friday indeed, and welcome to the Karsh and Anderson Radio Product. I'm Doug Karsh. That is Scott Anderson. It is 97.1. How are you today?
I'm all right, Doug. How are you?
I'm good. Anything exciting last night?
Not really, no. I mean, that football game sucked.
Dude, 10-7. What a thriller.
It sucked so bad. I kept bailing on it, trying to come back, trying to give it some attention.
Well, I will tell you that as bad as the NFL game, I'm not even sure this was a good game. But the opposite was taking place on the collegiate level with UTSA and South Florida. Gator, I don't know if anybody's ever seen anything like this, but with 2 minutes to go in the first quarter, it was 14-3 and one team had not taken a snap yet.
What?
It was 14-3. South Florida was leading UTSA 14-3 and they hadn't taken a snap yet. Yes, we have a question from Scott Anderson.
I think I may have just answered my own question. My question is, how do you score 3 points and not hit possession? But clearly the team that didn't have possession was the team that had the 14 points.
The team that never had possession had the 14 points.
So the
first play of the game was a pick six. UTSA took the opening kick, first play, pick six. Second play, or second possession, right? So they get the kickoff again. South Florida hasn't taken a snap yet. UTSA runs 14 plays, goes 60 yards down to the 2-yard line. They fumble. It's scooped and scored. It's now
pick six and a 98-yard fumble return.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So they kick off. There's still like 7 minutes to go in the first quarter. They kick off. South Florida kicks off up 14-0 without taking a snap. UTSA fields a kickoff, runs 5 plays, goes 15 yards. They punt. It's a short punt. It hits one of the up men of South Florida, and it's recovered by UTSA. So now they get the football back. They run 7 plays, 12 yards, over 2 minutes and 17 seconds. They kick a field goal. It's 14-3. The total yardage is like 160-0. The time of possession is 100% in UTSA's favor, and they're trailing 14-3.
Meanwhile, there's like 160 yards in defensive return yards.
And over in the other game, Denver doesn't have a first down. Final score, South Florida 55, UTSA 23. Final score in the NFL game, 10-7. Now, in the NFL game, I mean, they would spot the football and the wind would blow it. Like the football being round, it can roll. And it was like rolling. They'd spot the football and the wind was so bad the football would roll. They'd have to blow the whistle and respot. Anyway, it was tale of two different extremes. So, yeah, football. The NFL game was...
It was a snoozer. Yeah, I ended up watching like a marathon of...
Here we go. What did they make you flip to? It's been a while since we did this. The football game was so bad. What did they make you flip to?
It's a marathon of... Big Bang Theory.
Really?
Yeah. It was another one of those shows that never really gave it a chance back in the day when it was on. And I think I parachuted in on the final episode they had.
Yeah.
But the last year and a half or so, I've been watching it and enjoying it. It's quite a funny show.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually really funny. I found that same, and it's the same creators as Two and a Half Men. That was the other show I never watched when it was on, but... really, really like that show. I think it's hysterical. So both of those end up having marathons all the time because they run it on like whatever channel 260 is and then 226, whatever that is on your Comcast cable.
So what did they make you flip to? The NFL game was so bad last night.
So bad.
What did it make you flip to? Gator flipped to the Big Bang Theory.
I did. Lots of penny.
Lots of feedback coming in on that already. From Bear Slays. Holy crap, Gator. You couldn't have named a worse show to flip to.
Disagree.
Doug Ames says, oh God, I'd rather watch bad football. Kang, did you ever watch Big Bang Theory?
No, I did not. I know it's very popular, but I never got into it personally. It didn't appeal to me. I don't know.
I didn't until one day I just flipped it on because it was on like TBS. I'm like, okay, here we go. Let's watch it. And I'm like, okay, I got it.
Like it's funny. Like stupid funny, smart funny.
No, it's like smart. Like, well, first of all, it's about a bunch of geniuses. So it's kind of smart funny, but there's some stupid funny in it too. I just think it's entertaining enough
to hold your attention. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Far be it from me to be critical of what you choose to watch. I'm not going to do that. But what did they make you flip to last night? The NFL game was so bad. And it was 7-7 at the half. The final was 10-7. What did they make you flip to? I guess for me, the answer is UTSA in South Florida. No. What did you flip to last night?
No Big Ten field hockey last night?
It was soccer. And I didn't watch that.
Wow. But,
it's funny you mentioned Big Bang Theory as a show you weren't into when it was on the air,
but
you were watching it now. For me, that was The Office. Do you remember when I showed up here going, hey, anybody ever watch this, The Office? You guys are like, yeah.
I never watched The Office either. I mean, I've probably seen in their entirety, maybe 20 episodes in their entirety.
Yeah.
I'll catch bits and pieces here and there.
Night Spire X on Twitch says Hallmark Christmas movies.
Oh, boy.
Eggs and Bacon says me and the wife are rewatching Deadwood. And we had the game on mute on our small TV. Watch Deadwood on the main. There was never a reason to even glance at the small TV.
Deadwood's the best.
Is it?
Yeah. That show was incredible.
Yeah. Sully says, I muted it and went back to playing games. I'm assuming NFL games or video games. My bad.
If I had a video gaming system, I probably would have been playing video games last night.
Yeah.
I thought about picking up the guitar and just playing some guitar, but then that upsets the dog, and then she's going to want to go outside.
Wait. Guitar upsets the dog?
Oh, she hates it.
Really? She won't even let you play the guitar?
No. I can sit over where my guitar is there, pick up like an acoustic and start to strum it. She'll come over, stick her head between my arm that's working the fretboard, and she'll stick her head underneath my armpit to try to get in there and get me to stop. I'm like, am I that bad? I mean, I probably am that bad, but I'm like, come on, puppy, really?
So there's two things. You like to do a lot of things, but two things you like to really do is go for walks. You got a dog that can't walk. You love playing the guitar, and you got a dog that won't let you play the guitar.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just wanted to clear that up.
Yeah. Now, in fairness, it's not just me. Like when my buddy Garrett comes over and he plays the guitar and he's awesome at it, the dog doesn't really care for when he does
it. Oh, because we thought it was the dog judging your ability with the guitar. Initially, no, that's not it.
It's not it.
Dog hates all guitar.
She hates all guitar play.
And you love guitars.
Right.
And you love to hear your friend Garrett play the guitar too, right?
13 of them sitting on there the wall right now and another 10 in a bedroom. But yeah.
Sounds like a nice relationship you got going on.
Yeah, right? She runs the house.
She kind of does.
The next Gator rant's going to be, I just want 1 hour. 1 hour to play the guitar as loud as I want. As badly as I am. As bad as I can play it. Just give me 1 hour.
That's great. What did they make you flip to last night? The game was so bad. What did you choose to watch instead of Thursday Night Football? It's Carson Anderson, open lines. We'll get to some Lions Commander stuff. I think it's a big game for somebody this weekend. We'll get some of your texts straight ahead. Here on 97.1.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL game was so bad Thursday night. What did they make you flip to?
People really don't like the Big Bang Theory, huh?
No, but how about this one? Stanley says, I switched to reading a book. Gator, what are the...
Gator almost
he was taking a drink of his Gatorade. He almost spit it up. Those of you watching on Twitch and YouTube saw that. Gator nearly spit red Gatorade all over the computer console.
Wow.
He read a book.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, the night in Jeopardy, the final Jeopardy question was a literature question, and I got it right.
Did you?
I was like, you kidding me? Is it Scrooge? It was!
Wow. I'm currently reading a book.
Okay. Yeah?
I'm reading The Boys of Winter, which is about the U.S. Olympic hockey team in 1980. It's got a backstory.
If I were to read a book, that would be something I would read.
It's pretty good. From an unnamed texter, the game was so bad, I switched over to the series Reacher. Talk about badass. I don't know anything about Reacher. Do you know anything about Reacher?
I saw the first two seasons. Haven't seen the third season. I mean, it's the character Jack Reacher in movies was played by Tom Cruise, but the book that it's from, it's like a 6'7" guy, so it's hysterical that little Tom Cruise is playing it.
Wee little Tom.
But the Reacher movies are great, but they're both really entertaining. The Reacher series takes it to a different level because the actor is... He looks like he'd be the
He looks like
character.
Four Tom Cruises.
Yeah, he's like, massive. Right. Do you remember the TV show Blue Mountain State?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Okay, it was the fictitious college football program, and it's a comedy show that was on late night TV. It was funny. The guy who plays Reacher was like the star defensive player on the team from that.
I flipped to Netflix and the movie 28 Years Later, finished up the threequel. It's from an unnamed texter. Okay. The game was so draining, I didn't even flip to something. I went to bed right after the field goal. Happy I did. That's from Martin at work. Jeff writes in, I watched the game at 3 a.m. on Amazon replay. I made it to the end of the third and then switched to the new Robin Hood series on MGM. It's very good. Oh. Well-known actors.
The new Robin Hood series?
Yeah. I get it. Broncos game was so bad, I started watching Burn Notice on Hulu. Very, very good show. Do you know anything about Burn Notice?
No. I mean, I've heard of it. I think it deals with like CIA or something like that. Okay. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I'm looking for a new show. So I'm taking notes over here. Philip in Detroit says, I flipped to the back of my eyelids, fell asleep on Big Bang Theory is sweet. That's from Philip. Game was so bad, I joined my girlfriend in watching a musical special celebrating the upcoming release of Wicked Part 2.
Oh, come on. The game wasn't that bad. Come on.
Come on, people.
Dude, you've gone too far.
I mean.
Jeez. Come on. Tell me you switched back to the game.
Really? I mean, come on.
I mean, at some point, you got to go. You know, Drew Nix can get it going at any time here. Maybe we should go back.
Look, I like Ariana Grande as much as the next guy, but I mean, that's a bit much. That's pushing it. That's pushing it.
It really is.
Or Bo Nix, either way.
What did I say?
Drew Nix.
Who the hell's Drew Nix?
I don't know.
Where did that come from?
I don't know.
Drew Nix? Is there a Drew Nix?
I don't know. I think you literally made up a name.
did you get confused? Did you think like there was a Nix that played for Michigan State, the basketball team?
There was a Nix.
And then there was Drew Namick. Did you combine the two?
There was a Nix that played. Wasn't there a Nix that played for Indiana State against Michigan State in the 1979 national championship game?
Yeah, it's been a while since I looked.
There
at
was
box
Derek
score.
Nix that played for Michigan State.
Yeah, I know Derek. Yeah. I was saying like Derek Nix and Drew Namick. Did you combine them to get Drew Nix?
Bo Nix. They had the fact last night during the game that Bo Nix has the shortest name in the history of the NFL. Five letters. Five letters.
Someone emptied the bucket last night.
Hey, when it's 10-7 and nobody's paying any attention.
Well, now I feel the need to take a look and see if there was a Nix on that roster.
For Indiana State?
Yeah.
I think he might have been their only other player worth a crap.
There is, but it's N-I-C-K-S. Carl Nix.
Really?
Carl!
So no relation?
I don't think so. No, no.
Yep. True Nix.
Carl Nix actually has a link, his own link on Wikipedia.
Really?
Yeah, well, he played. Played for the Denver Nuggets, the Utah Jazz, Cleveland Cavaliers.
See?
Along with the Billings Volcanoes. Perhaps that's why you know all your trips out to Montana.
Yes, I was paying attention to 1980s Montana CBA basketball.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What?
This is not something I would have. So Larry Bird was the man at Indiana State, right? Obviously.
Yep.
So after he averaged 19 points a game during that season for Indiana State, he played the following year and averaged 27 points a game.
Without Larry Bird.
Without Larry Bird.
Oh, that Bird guy was ball hog.
Totally.
Yep. I can't name any other player on that Indiana State team. I just remember. Just remember Bird and Knicks.
Remember Bob Heaton, Brad Miley.
There you go.
Leroy Staley. Mm-hmm. I thought you had a better memory than that.
No, sorry. My bad. You're not looking at anything. You're rattling off the top right, of your head, aren't you?
I'm going full Caputo. No, I have no idea who these guys are. The funny thing is, I used to, before I redid one of my bathrooms, I used to have the Free Press sports page framed that had the box score there. So you'd go in the bathroom, you look over to your right, and there's the box score. And yet,
and you don't.
I don't remember anybody other than Larry Bird in that game.
All right, so let's get to the Lions here a little bit. Gator, is Philadelphia good?
The Eagles?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is Washington bad?
Right now, this is not a good team right now.
So Philly plays Green Bay and the Lions play Washington. As bad as we feel, how much better will we feel come Monday if the Lions are back in first place?
I think we'll feel good.
Yep. Not a great, unless they put up a 50 burger.
You're up by, a technicality because of a tie game that the Packers have, but yes, I'll take it.
Yep, whatever. Well, it's not really a technicality. No, you know what I'm saying. There's nothing quite as amusing to me than the NFL tie. Every game that goes to overtime, I'm rooting for the tie. And I don't know why, but I'm like, I get enthusiastic about it. And especially if, I didn't see a game went to overtime and then I didn't see it's in overtime. Let's go. Let's get some comedy. Let's have a tie. And the Packers have a tie on their record. And that tie can work for you or against you. And if the Lions win and the Packers lose to Philly. Now, the Packers are favored by 1.5, I believe. But, if the Lions go out and do what they've done for much of the year against bad teams, which is roll, and the Packers lose to Philadelphia, bang, just like that, we're in first place. Now, what else is weird is Chicago has the same record. Chicago could win, and Chicago's playing the Giants. So Chicago could win and be tied with Detroit for first place, and suddenly Green Bay's in third. And then we can take all the calls that we've gotten this week about season's over, and we can export them to Green Bay and let them talk about how the season's over.
Yeah, I don't think that's going
to
happen.
No, we got to a very dark place this week. I expected there to be some of that, but I didn't expect it to be seasons over dark. But we got some seasons over dark place.
There's some knee-jerk reactions that
there
happen.
There is. I mean, it's typical, but and that's okay. I do want to bring up, though, I'm kind of having a sense here. As this week goes on, I think this is a very, very important game for one person. Lions, Washington Sunday. We'll get to who that one person is today at 10:32.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1. All right, Lions play Washington on Sunday. Michigan and Michigan State with the weekend off. Other interesting games. This is going to be a fascinating college football weekend. In my opinion, I think it's going to be a really good one. But with that said, Lions are on the marquee today. And Scott, I want to ask the people, like, what's this game or who is this game about? Like, we're talking about a team that I think some people view of it right now that they're in crisis mode. That this is a team that is in crisis mode. And I think others just want to see them right the ship and aren't, like, panicked about it. But wherever you are and whoever, you know, whatever you believe, who or what do you think this game is about? So it could be about one person that you think needs to step up. It could be about one thing you want to see. It could be about one position group. But who or what do you think this game is really about? 248-539-9797. And Gator, I don't think that typically you and I are prone to wild emotional swings. And I think we try not to overreact to what our eyes saw last. Nobody thinks they're overreacting. I think most people think they are reacting appropriately, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, having authentic and genuine feelings. But I will tell you, I got a feeling that this is a very important game for John Morton, the offensive coordinator. As I've taken in the feedback from out of Allen Park as this week has gone on, and look back at the game, listen to what the players have said, listen to what the offensive coordinator has said, as I take all this information in, and yesterday the coordinators met with the media, I walked away thinking that this is a big game for John Morton. I walked away thinking, and I'm not saying he can't get the job done. I think it's important for John Morton that they go out and they run the football and they put up 30-plus points. Wouldn't be a bad weekend to put up a 50-burger either. I think everybody needs it. I think John Morton really needs it. And do I think he can get it done? Yeah, I think he can get it done. I think he could have the answers. But in the feedback that has come out of Allen Park, and then the conversations I've had off the air, I think it's an important game for John Morton.
I understand that. And see, I think the problems they're having are, it's more specific to the offensive line. I might say it's more on Hank Fraley than it is on John Morton, but I understand what you're saying. But if the offensive line can't get it together, that's a massive problem. And yet I also want to give him a break because I understand. You don't have Frank Ragnow at center, and now you don't have Chris Mahogany at left guard, and you may or may not have Taylor Decker at left tackle. And it's been a struggle this season because Decker has missed a couple of games. So I understand, and it's going to take a little bit of time here, but, I mean, we're running out of time. We're starting the approach into the second half of the season, and we might see some new faces on the offensive line. We're definitely going to see a new one at left guard in Awosika, but he has played left guard before. But, I would say it's, you know, if you have a problem specifically with an offensive line, then I think it's more an offensive line coach issue. And I'm not blaming Hank Fraley.
Right, right.
I think Hank Fraley's great. But I think this is where he's really got to coach these guys up and make sure that they're on the same page. I don't know if that's the coordinator's job or if that's the line coach's job.
I mean, I think when you show up on Sundays, you have a game plan, and sometimes your game plan doesn't work. And, you know, more often than not, it better, or you won't be doing that job for very long. And I'm comfortable in thinking that I think the Lions maybe got out-schemed a little bit this past Sunday. But what now has been shown on film, what Minnesota did, others will try and duplicate. And, you know, I usually think it's, and I subscribe to the rule that it's more about the Jimmys and Joes than the X's and O's, but that doesn't mean X's and O's aren't important. And Dan Campbell said this week that it's, you know, we can fix this. And others have said it. But if you are shorthanded or deficient in an area, you have to find a way to work around that. You have to find a way to either help out that, like, help out if it's a position group, if it's an area, like that. When I say area, I mean, if there's a problem with the interior of the offensive line, you need to find a way to address that. And, you know, there's a lot of comparisons. I don't expect, well, let me put it to you like this. I think if Ben Johnson were the offensive coordinator right now, I think he would have some challenges that he didn't have last year. Because Ragnow is gone. There are injuries up there. There's an experience up there. And so I'm not holding up John Morton, the new offensive coordinator, to the Ben Johnson 2024 Lions standard. I don't think that's fair. But I do think it's an important game for the offensive coordinator and the offensive staff, but the coordinator's in charge of that, to show that they can respond to whatever Minnesota did that Washington would be wise to try and mimic, right?
Yeah, I think another reason I'll throw it more at the feet of Hank Fraley. Hank Fraley is also in his job description. It's not only offensive line coach, it's also run game coordinator. And the running game has not been as good for the Lions this season on a whole. Now, they've had a couple of, and it was against Tampa Bay. That's when Jahmyr Gibbs went off and had the big game. Mm-hmm. Montgomery had 150 yards, I think, rushing in one game. But beyond that, it's been a little bit of a struggle. They're averaging 4.4 yards per carry, which feels like it's not enough. They have 1,000 yards rushing on the season in 8 games, which is, I think, well below the 150 yards per game that they were averaging previously. So that's another area of the game that's got to get better. And that's everything up front. That's blocking up front.
Now, it's important to point out this is not a crisis. The Lions are second in the NFL in points per game, and they have no defensive touchdowns this year.
You're asking about specific to this game on Sunday.
Yep.
Who's this an important game for? And that's why, look, I'm not being hypercritical of these guys. I think this is an area.
I think it's important for them to have good days. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Who is this game, or what is this game about to you? 248-539-9797. Jim in Lake Orion. Hi, Jim.
Hey, gentlemen. Yeah, to me, this game is about what I said at the beginning of the season, and nobody was ready to hear it. Losing Ragnow, especially on the eve of training camp, was going to prove to be very problematic, if not devastated, especially if there's injuries. That's where we're at now. And in fairness to a coaching staff that has shown it can handle success and build something great, I think all evaluations on them are frozen right now. Because what made that offense great was the offensive line. They could hit you a million different ways. The linebacker, you were getting to the second level. David Montgomery looked like a much different back. That's all gone. It's been gone minus one game against the Bears for the whole season. Now with at least 4 or 5 guys significantly injured plus depth, it's going to be rough. They may get by this week here, but it's going to be rough. And what happened against Minnesota reminds me what Jeff Fisher did to the Lions in 95. He slowed them down. He still lost the game, but he gave the template for the Eagles to decimate them in the playoffs. And a team with the talent is going to be able to do what Minnesota did to the Lions for the rest of the year.
Sorry, go ahead, Gator.
I'm not sure if that's fair. The Eagles, when they dismantled the Lions in the playoffs, the Lions scored, I think, 40 points and still got outscored by 20 or something. It was a crazy game. The Eagles' offense was ridiculous against the Lions' defense. I don't know if it was so much of a Lions' lack of offense.
It was a bunch of turnovers, though. It was a bunch of turnovers because of pressure.
Well, Jim, as much as you deserve your due, you weren't the only one worried about Frank Reich. I don't know if everything's frozen. Like I think it's fair to judge them, but I'm not. I don't think it's fair to hold them up to the standard last year because the Jimmys and Joes aren't as good. The roster offensively isn't as good without Frank Ragnow. There are still other ways to find to move the football and win, and they still have the second highest scoring offense in the NFL. Not a crisis, but important. I think that they go out and have a good game against a depleted defense and a defense that hasn't been that good. Greg in Westland. Hi, Greg. Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, Greg, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, my main thing is, like, the coordinators, like, some of the – you know what's different, too? All the teams are doing trick plays. All the teams are going for fourth down. We haven't done any of those things. And I know that there is a new coordinators, but I think they need to know how to adjust. I think that's one of the problems with our coordinators. They do not adjust to the situation. It stays the same because our offense is so dry. You know, it used to be run and, you know, we didn't have any issues. And they need to come up with something different. I know they're new and everything, but you got some of the greatest players.
What do you mean the offense is dry?
It's dry because the running game is dead. The running game does not seem to be what it used to be. Whether it's the blocking, I don't know what you want to call it. But
they have a top 10 rushing attack in the NFL. It's not as good as it was a year ago.
It's not far from dead. But it's nowhere near where it was.
The previous caller said it's completely gone, and you just said it was dead. It's still a top 10 rushing attack in the NFL.
Well, I understand what you're saying. I mean, you know, the numbers say something, but the play doesn't help. It doesn't help the way we're playing sometimes because they have the fastest guy probably in football, Jahmyr Gibbs. He stands there and waits for the ball to be handed to him. In the meantime, the defense watches the ball being handed off. So they're not setting up things. You know, I was expecting them to fool people. You got to make people think you're doing this, but you do that. They're not doing that
Greg,
anymore.
I would say this. I tend to agree with you with the running game. I don't think it's dead, but it's not as effective as it has been. And, yes, they've had a couple of games. They put up some big totals, but by and large, it doesn't look like I don't have anywhere near as much confidence as I used to. If it's third and two, that they can hand it off and get the first down. It's been different. They had a lot of tackles loss this year.
It's not as good as it was.
No.
As far as Jahmyr Gibbs standing there and waiting for the I'm not trying to be a running back coach, but it's worked for him in the past. And it can work again. But I think it's an important game. Here's the other. I don't know the answers. Not a coach. Never coach football. Look at the results and tell you it doesn't look the same. It's not as good. Now, can they still win in a big way? Yeah, I think the defense is better. And they still have a ton of playmakers. And we're bitching about the second highest scoring offense in the NFL that hasn't, I mean, and to be fair, I mean, it hasn't looked as good in recent weeks against some better opponents. This is not a better opponent. This doesn't prove anything other than, hey, they can still do it against a bad team, which would be a good sign. It doesn't mean they're ready to roll necessarily. I'll feel that way if they have a good offensive game against Philly the next week. It's Carson Anderson. What's this game about, in your opinion? Who is it about? Who needs to step up? What needs to be better? What are you looking for Sunday? One point, very hot name. People wanted him here. There's some news on him. I wonder what it means. We'll get to that today at 11:02. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Great to be with you on a Friday. Phone calls, feedback. We're asking people on this Friday before what feels like an important game for everybody's, you know, wants the reassurance that this team hasn't completely gone in the tank and everything's going to be fine. I think the Sunday to Tuesday news rattled much of the Lions fan base, a higher percentage than I expected. We did the Twitter poll earlier in the week about, you know, the Lions are still Super Bowl contender, the Lions Super Bowl chances have taken a big hit, or the Lions are done. It was nearly 40% of people saying they were done. Now, is that skewed for, you know, towards our audience? Is that data? Can we debate whether or not it's really 40% of Metro Detroit thinks the Lions are done? I think we can debate it. I don't really believe it's that high a percentage. But with that said, feels like this is suddenly kind of an important game. Did you hear music?
I did.
Where's that coming from? Is that your phone? Is that my phone?
It's not my phone, no.
Anyone, can you hear music?
I hear it.
Yeah. All right. Maybe it's not that important. anyway, sorry, distracted. It's usually you.
I know. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Why am I apologizing? I didn't distract you.
No, it was totally me.
I was rolling with the distraction.
You kind of were. And I was the one that brought it up. Anyway, who or what is this game about? 248-539-9797.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it's really 40% of the people that give up say there's no chance. I think that's the sting of what happened and the sting of not adding to this team at the trade deadline. I think we all really felt strongly that something was going to happen, and they didn't.
Yeah. 248-539-9797. What is this game about in your view?
Can I pitch a non-player as what this game's
sure,
about for
yeah.
me? I'm going to go Hank Fraley. So I just think that, listen, I think we all know he's a good coach, and we all know the offensive line has been good before. But I think when John Morton comes out and says the scheme is there, we just have to block better, or the players are saying we just have to block better, the scheme's not there, I don't know, there's miscommunication. It seems to me that, guess who's your coach, your position coach? It's Hank Fraley. Yeah. And I know he can do it, but he's got to get it done. I think it's a 50% battle here. One is knowing your assignments, and the other is executing it, yeah. right? So is the problem fixable? I do think it's fixable, but that's only half of the solution. The other half is now you got to fix it, because the worst part would be if it's not fixable. But I think we all agree it's fixable. Now go do it. And I think that's on Hank Fraley.
Yeah, I mean, we asked a question of Jared Goff about the offensive line play. Was it simply communication like it was? Everybody said it was after the first game against the Packers, or is it something that's way more complicated? And he's like, it's way more complicated than that. This is not the same situation. So, okay. I mean, guys not only have to be on the same page, but he kept hammering home, I think, three different times, three different questions about execution. And even apologize for it. I hate to sound like a broken record, but that's what it is. And I think that's what every player is going to say and every coach is going to say. It's about execution. Like, they think all the plays are supposed to work if they're executed. Some are supposed to work for maybe touchdowns. Others are supposed to work for, we need 3 yards. This is going to get us the 3 yards. But they didn't get it done on Sunday enough. And they had some really costly mistakes. But that offensive line play on Sunday is really, it's scarring to see that happen to them, to see Goff under that kind of pressure, because you know that if you don't have a running game going and the teams pin their ears back and get after the quarterback, if they can do it, doing the cross dog or whatever the hell it was, that's a real problem, because you don't want some team to find the kryptonite halfway through the season.
Yeah, and teams are going to do to the Lions what Minnesota did. They're going to try to.
They're going to try to, yeah, and same thing with what the Packers did.
Let's go to Lamont. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up, man?
Hey, fellas. Good show.
Thank you.
Listen, I believe the Lions, it's going to be a cakewalk come Sunday. I mean, the quarterback for Washington, he's have a serious injury. He's not going to be playing. Washington have a lot of injured people on their team. I think the Lions going to knock off the rust and take care of business Sunday and get ready for the following Sunday.
Yeah, they're a banged-up team. They are not. They haven't been good defensively. Now their quarterback's out. They got two receivers. One that's out for sure because he was placed on the injured list. McCaffrey. Terry McLaurin hasn't practiced all week. So, this feels like it's there for the Lions to roll. And these always scare me a little bit because I feel like it's – here's why. Because if you don't win by 21 points, people are going to bitch. And I guess it doesn't really scare me, but it won't feel like a satisfying win unless they roll them.
Well, 31. They're going to get 31, okay? They're going to I consider that a roll them. 31.
They're going to win by 31 or they're going to score 31?
They're going to score 31 and win by 31.
Oh, you think they're winning 31-0?
Well, we got the advantage coming this Sunday. And the Dan Campbell, the guy's going to kick up all their rust, and they're going to do well Sunday. Get ready for who is the next Sunday? Who we playing?
Philly.
All righty then. So this is a tune-up for that.
Well, better be. I mean, look, there are games on the schedule. If they lose this game to Washington, and it's the NFL, right? You can lose to anyone on any given Sunday. And if this turns into an any given Sunday, and I don't expect it to, but if it does, Lions are really, really going to be up against it. Going to Philly for Sunday Night Football at 5-4.
Yeah, no, this kind of feels like a must win, but it's really, this is for, I think, a giant relief on everybody on this team that they need to get out there, get out to a good start, not have this game being threatened. They're a 9.5-point favorite for a reason. Keep telling myself that.
Is it 9.5 now?
It was. I know it was a 9.5.
Wow. It opened at 3.5, but then Jaden Daniels got hurt.
Yes, which creates a big problem. It's down to, now it's at 7.5.
Okay.
I just looked it up. So it's gone from 9.5 to 7.5 in the last couple of days. But I think this is one of these, let's get right games. Go out there and get right. And I think starting with the offensive line, get a good drive to start the game, 75-yard touchdown drive, run the ball effectively.
Which is what they did against Minnesota.
Jared Goff finding five different receivers to throw to on that first drive, and just keep picking up and doing that. We talked the other day about, you know, which player do you think is going to step up. I really think this is going to be a game where Amon-Ra St. Brown says, I got this. throw it to me. I'll take care of business. And Goff is going to say, yeah, I'm throwing to you. This is when we're in trouble as an offense, what do? We go back to the basics. And the basics is throwing to 14. He's always open. He's going to make the play. And at some point, he's going to bust one for a long game.
But a weird thing about where we're at right now is that 14 hasn't caught everything. Like, that speaks to us being in a really strange place, because you're right, 14, you could always count on 14. And I still would. And my life depended on it. Which line would I want the ball thrown to? It'd be 14. And that's true today. It was true at the beginning of this season, in spite of the drops. There have been a couple there that have been surprising. And, you know, this is the stuff that needs to get buttoned up.
That's part of the reason why I think the fan base is so rattled, Doug, is like a lot of their fears are coming true, and then you throw into the fact that St. Brown hasn't been as reliable as he always is. I mean, I'm still thrown to him all day, every day, but he has dropped a couple of pretty big third downs when this team's having a hard time converting third downs right now. And then, you know, you talk about getting off to a good start. Like you mentioned, they literally did that against the Vikings, went down the field with Laporta and scored a touchdown, and then it was silence after that. I think this fan base is so rattled. They don't just have to win this weekend. They kind of got to win comfortably, and the offense has got to look good.
Who or what is this game about? Gator and Kang both said Hank Fraley. I said it's a John Morton game. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.